Our New Testament reading this morning is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. As I'm taking off my mask, I would note that I've been fully vaccinated. And also, speaking of masks, our singers are the only people within 30 feet of our singers are Ernie and Marlene, and that's about the distance of aerosoling, like 27 feet. And Ernie's fully vaccinated and Marlene is, so we should be pretty safe, besides which Vladimir and most of his family has also been vaccinated. So we should be good. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these examples of wisdom and inclusion that you show us in your word. Open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So these two stories, the story that Kim read and the story that I read, they are connected. How are they connected? Well, you look at the Queen of Sheba. It's possible we're talking about Sheba or Seba, but Josephus, who did write significantly later, he was a first century Jewish historian, Josephus said that Seba was actually Meroe. Oh, Meroe. I'm sure you're all familiar with Meroe, as I definitely wasn't until last week. Meroe is, it's a city in Africa. It was the head of, or it was in charge of the Meroetic kingdom. But before we do that, the Queen of Sheba. There's more to the story of the Queen of Sheba, because yes, she went to talk to Solomon, and it says there was, I don't know why the New Revised Standard Version did this. They said there was no spirit left in her. That's terrible. The Hebrew is breath, wind. There was no breath in her. Her breath was taken away by how wise Solomon was. That makes more sense, right? She was breathtaken by Solomon's wisdom. That fits better with it, doesn't it? She's breathtaken with Solomon's wisdom, and according to legend, she and Solomon have a baby together. And Solomon sends her back to Sheba, or possibly, according to Josephus, Meroe, with some priests and even a duplicate of the Ark of the Covenant. And that's how we end up with African Jews maybe hadn't noticed. There are like black Jews in Israel. And you go, wait, but Abraham, what? This is the explanation. That the Queen of Sheba sort of marries into Judaism and you end up with Ethiopian Jews. Speaking of, they say that Solomon was the wisest man in the world. I would argue that perhaps the Queen of Sheba was the wisest woman in the world because she heard this guy was really smart and she came to snatch all of his wisdom. She came to get all of the wisdom that he had. She came asking him her hardest questions and Solomon gives her all the answers. She's like, boom. So, Ethiopia. This guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, funny story, probably not from Ethiopia. See, Luke, like a lot of the Greeks of his time, and like a lot of modern-day Americans, aren't really familiar with African geography. So, Ethiopia, you know what Ethiopian means in Greek? Ethiopian, I looked this up in my little concordance and I hover over it and it says, sort of breaks down the word, burned skin. So basically Africans. They've got Egypt, because they know Egypt, and then they've got like the rest of Africa. So he doesn't really have his geography straight. It's actually, and the reason we know this is because of who the Ethiopian eunuch's boss is. Did you catch it? Anybody remember her name? Candace? Actually, no. Candace is not her name. Even though the Bible says Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, I was just like, what? Candace was not the queen of the Ethiopians. She was actually, in Greek, it is, I think I've got a slide, she was, wait, where did that go? Oh, I didn't ask Mike to reload it. That's okay. She's not Candace, she is the Kandake. Perhaps you've heard of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Pharaoh wasn't his name, it was his title. Well, in the same way, Kandake was not the queen of the Ethiopians' name, it was her title. She was not Kandake, she was the Kandake. And historians have sort of figured out roughly which of them she might have been, because of time-wise. Check it. Okay. This is one of the Kandakes. You probably can't see very well, so I sort of traced it a little bit. If you're listening on CD, I apologize. On the right, that is Kandake Amenatore. She ruled from roughly 1 to 25 AD. The thing that looks like a funnel is actually the bottom of a sword, and I didn't trace it properly. So she's got two swords in her hands. On her left there is her brother, Natakamani, who is the king of the Ethiopians, and you can see that they're like co-equals. And who? What are all those weird lines below them? Oh, those are all of their enemies. Those are all of their enemies on their knees with their hands in the air, and the Kandake Amenatore is holding this sword over their heads and another sword there. And this is not somebody you want to mess with. She is one of the most powerful people in Africa. But that the Kandake that the eunuch in our story worked for, he was, by the way, the head of her treasury. But wait a minute. So if you think about this just a minute, you've got a king and a queen, right? And they generally have a joint treasury. The Kandake has her own treasury. People talk about, Africa is so backward. Well, in the first century, by that point, they've got women running things. So maybe not so backward. We didn't figure that out until, 21st century? We still quite aren't there. So the kendake is the most super important. And as my chemistry professor used to say, this won't be on the test. I just thought you might find it interesting. But the eunuch, he is sort of almost a second-class Jew because he's African. Second-class Jew in the sense of, so you see people talking to the Jewish people in Jerusalem, and then Philip goes to Samaria, and finally, last person before the Gentiles is the African Jews. Also, he doesn't count as a woman, obviously, but he's also not like, he doesn't count as like fully male. He's not referred to as an Ethiopian man. He's referred to as an Ethiopian eunuch, which is almost like a third gender. He doesn't count for a man in that ancient world. Which, fun fact, speaking of that, oh yeah, we'll get to that in just a sec. So here's your map here. Jerusalem's up there. Looks like it's cropped out. Samaria's north. Gaza's down there. And the distance between Gaza and Jerusalem, that desert road, is about 50 miles. So roughly here to Holland. So the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go on foot. If Philip's in Benton Harbor, go to 196 between Holland and Benton Harbor, and you know, pick a spot. You're going to meet somebody. Just go there. And Philip's like, sure, why not? The Holy Spirit told me. Anyway, oh, and right up there is Azotus, where Philip is found. Some people try to like take away from the weirdness, but it says the Spirit snatched him away, and he's like, oh, this is Azotus. It's just funny. Okay, so eunuch, almost like a third gender. The thing is, Deuteronomy 23:1, no one who's emasculated, has his male organ cut off, may enter the assembly of the Lord. He came to... Let me check here. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship, or Greek, to pay reverence. He'd come to pay reverence at the temple. So he's not... The people in the temple might have looked kind of sideways at him because he's saying that he's Jewish. But he's obviously Ethiopian. He's dark-skinned. And they're going to probably look at him sideways. He's also a eunuch, and there are ways of telling. And he's not allowed in, probably, to full inclusion in the temple. So he's on his way back to Africa for that. It's a long trip, by the way, from Meroe to Jerusalem. When I say a long trip, we're talking 1,500 miles on horseback. I looked this up on the internet about how fast you can go by horseback. If he's like booking it, going really fast, he could maybe make the trip in 2 weeks. Otherwise, it's probably closer to 2 months, especially if he stops and doesn't want to kill his horses. On the other hand, he's in charge of the treasury, so maybe he can afford to kill a few horses. But anyway, it's a long trip, and after making this long trip to pay reverence, I'm going to guess he probably did not get full inclusion in worship at the temple. Just a guess. You can almost hear the anxiety in his question, and I don't think I have it. You can almost hear the anxiety in his question when he asks Philip, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Is there anything that would prevent me as a black Jew eunuch from getting baptized? And the next line is, he commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The answer would be no, nothing prevents him from being baptized. No asterisks, no ifs, ands, or buts. Philip just baptizes him. And then he gets snatched away by the Spirit. And then the first Christian in Africa, the first convert to Christianity, the first Christian missionary in Africa is not, as I learned in high school history class, David Livingston. It is this unnamed Ethiopian eunuch who's not even from Ethiopia. Turns out everyone gets included. He came to Jerusalem looking for God. And he left Jerusalem, and he's got his scroll open to Isaiah. He's still looking for God. And then God finds him in an unexpected way on the way home. God sends Philip after him. The religion that he came expecting to fulfill him didn't. He was still looking. But God called him to a different understanding of his faith in which he was fully included. I think that's true. I've spent a lot of time looking for God, and I've had to reshape how I understand my faith and recalibrate how I read the Bible in the light of Jesus. But I know other people who've talked about having to leave the church and then finding God outside the church walls. Probably not something I'm supposed to say because I'm a pastor, but it's true. This guy is on his way home from a very long drive to church. He's traveled over 1,000 miles by chariot, and God finds him at the gas station on the way home from church. Because Jesus says, all those who seek, find. Here's Isaiah 56. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Don't let the eunuch say, I'm just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. People have walked away from Christianity because they were told that they didn't fit. They were told that maybe God didn't like people like them. People in church looked at them kind of sideways. Maybe it's not the way we'd hope, but I think people can experience God in other places. One of my uncles taught me how to find God out in the middle of a lake on a perfect sunny Sunday afternoon. Some people find God in the mountains. Some people have been so harmed by Christianity, or well, by Christians and religious people, they can't even call their experience of God, God. But God is bigger than church, and God can find us outside of Jerusalem. God is, and that is fantastic news, right, for all of you who have been finding God outside of the walls of the church for the past year in the middle of a pandemic. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the way that you find us, not just in Jerusalem where we expect to find you, but outside Jerusalem when we've given up on finding you. Please continue to seek us out and find us as we seek you out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.